Welcome to Kingdom Perspective Broadcast, the teaching ministry of Dr. David Ogaga. We believe that this message is going to open up the seals and cause you to have a deeper revelation into the Word of God that will make you see beyond the letters in the Word. Here is Dr. David.
We are open to receive. We ask for instructions. We ask for revelations. We ask for wisdom. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay. All right, we'll continue with what we started last week. And this is simply, my God, just to do with the statement that Jesus made on the cross. Hallelujah. Last week, we get a clear definition as to what that actually stands for. I'm going to pursue that today. There are certain things I want to make you see today because I intend to wrap it up properly. But for us to go about that, you know, I was asking the question, you really think that Jesus was abandoned by God? Because the common understanding is Jesus was abandoned because he was, if I may follow what they say, he was a sinner. We got our sins were laid on him. But I tried to make you see from the book of Isaiah 53, our sins were not laid on him. Our iniquities were laid on him, not our sins. He bore our iniquities. The chastisement of our pains were laid on him. He was a kinsman redeemer. By implication, he bought out of our slavery. If your brother paid for your offenses, it doesn't mean your brother committed the offense. Neither is it that a brother is a sinner. By implication, if you're a thief and you are taken to prison and your brother comes along to say, okay, don't jail him, jail me. That doesn't make you a thief, but you are paying the price for your brother being a thief. The quick example I'll give to you from the Bible is that of Barabbas and Jesus. Remember, Barabbas was a criminal, he was a murderer, as the case may be. He was behind and he was waiting for his crucifixion or being killed, as the case may be. And you must understand, when Pilate wanted to release Jesus, in quote, the cry was out there, no, crucify him, crucify him. Remember that. Very good. Now you can understand that Barabbas, for instance, behind the scene, could be hearing that when he said crucify him. He'll be thinking he's the one that is to be crucified, that the people are saying he should be crucified. And so by the time Pilate gets him out and say, okay, bring Barabbas out, and now said, okay, you can go. It will have been a shock for Barabbas because as he was coming out from whatever cell he was anticipating he's been killed. Now Pilate is saying, you can go. So the question is, why should I go? And I would say, somebody's going to die in your place, which is Jesus Christ. Did you understand that? Good. The offense that Barabbas committed was not what Jesus committed. But he took the place of Barabbas for crucifixion, and Barabbas was set free. And Barabbas is more or less like the whole world, like you and I. The sins we committed was what he was in prison for, he was killed for, like Barabbas was. Now Barabbas was set free. You are set free because he took your place, not because he committed a crime for which he died. So he can't take your sin upon himself. He took your punishment upon himself. Is it making sense to you? And like I try to keep saying, if you say he was a sinner, I mean, he took your sin upon himself, that means he was a sinner. And if he was a sinner, he is not qualified to redeem you because sin cannot redeem sin. The blood was simply an innocent blood, the Alpha blood. Amen? Hallelujah. So then, why was this shout? And I try to also make you see, Jesus said it, we said that last week, I know you are with me always. I am the Father of one. You will never forsake me. He said all of those things. So what finally happened when he starts saying, "My God, my God"? Okay, let's start reading some scriptures today, long readings. Luke chapter 7, verse 17. Hallelujah. Remember, first of all, we need to understand that when he rose from the grave, money was given out for people to lie that he never rose from the grave. Is that okay? People were bribed to lie against his resurrection. Bible says, "And this rumor of him went forth throughout all Judea and throughout all the region round about after resurrection. And the disciples of Jesus showed him of all these things. And John, calling unto him two of his disciples, sent them to Jesus, saying, Art thou he that should come, or will look for another?" Follow this. When the men were come unto him, the rumor here actually has to do with the fame, not the one of being lied against, but the fame of his miracles went abroad. All right. Verse 20. "When the men were come unto him, they said, John the Baptist has sent us unto thee, saying, Art thou he that should come, or will look for another? And he, that same hour, he cured many of their infirmities and plagues and of evil spirits, and unto many that were blind he gave sight. Then Jesus answering said unto them, Go your way and tell John what things you have seen and heard, how that the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, the poor, the gospel is preached to them. And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. And when the messengers of John were departed, began to speak unto the people concerning John, what went he out unto the wilderness for to see? A reed shaking with the wind? But what went he out for to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they which are gorgeously appareled, live delicately and in king's courts. But what went he out for to see? A prophet? Yea, I say unto you, and much more than a prophet. This is he of whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee." That's Malachi 3, verse number 1. Now, Jesus said here that John is a prophet, and he was a prophet. Is that okay? Clearly written. All right. As a prophet, he ought to know who Jesus was. Is that okay? But, so what led him to make this kind of statement when he was put in prison? The first you got to realize this, he came in the spirit and the power of Elijah. Go to Malachi chapter 4. Is that okay? He came in the spirit and the power of Elijah. He was walking under the influence of that spirit. Now, because his assignment was finished, that spirit was lifted. And now he was operating like an ordinary man. Are you with me? And so he was not thinking. Remember, he's the one that said, "The Lamb of God will take away the sin of the world." So at this stage, he was completely out of the realm of the operation of that spirit of Elijah and the prophetic office that he was, because his assignment is finished. And so when he asked the question, "Are you the one we are looking for?" He simply didn't answer them, "I am the one." What does he mean by, "Are you the one we are looking for? Are you the Messiah that we are looking for?" Is that okay? Right. He never answered them any question. What did he do? He went to start healing the sick, giving sight to the blind, hearing to those who are damned, are deaf. Why? Because that was a prophecy that Isaiah gave concerning the Messiah. Are you listening to me? He didn't say, "Just go tell them I'm the one." Instead, he got the blind, he got the deaf, he got the lame, he got the dumb to start speaking. And he said, "You go tell them this what you saw." So what he's telling them is, go tell John in relation to the question he just asked, that this is what you saw. And John instantly would get to know that this is the Messiah, because this is what the prophet said about the Messiah. Are you listening to this? And so, actually he was speaking from Isaiah 35. That's verse 22 here. Go to Isaiah 35 verse number 4. I want it to verse number 5 to 6 as well. Praise the Lord. Say to them that are of a fearful heart, be strong, fear not, behold, your God will come with vengeance, even God with recompense. He will come and save you. What's the next thing there? Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ear of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap as an ox, and the tongue of the dumb sing. For in the wilderness shall water break out, and streams were in the desert. So this is the scripture that the whole of Israel were expecting to be fulfilled. So now, when John now said, are you the one we are looking for? By implication, if you are the one we are looking for, two things confused John there. The primary one was, if this is the Messiah, with all the powers and miracles we expected him to execute, he should be able to deliver me from this prison. His human nature was speaking, not the office that he occupied. Are you following me? Okay. So now, this prophecy, the whole of Israel got to know him. They know about it. And they believed it, that when the Messiah comes, this is what he's going to do. John knew that, because they've read all of that in the Torah. And all of those things you can find out the prophets. So when Jesus simply stopped performing those miracles, he wanted to prove to John that the Messiah they were expecting is the one. Are you there with me? I'll give you another example on that. Matthew 12. Look at from verse 15. This one he healed a dumb guy that was brought unto him as well. Hallelujah. 15. But when Jesus knew it, he withdrew himself from thence, and great multitude followed him, and he healed them all, and charged them that they should not make him known, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, behold a servant whom I have chosen, my beloved, in whom my soul is well pleased. I will put my spirit upon him, and he shall show judgment to the Gentiles. Verse 22. Then was brought unto him one possessed with a devil, blind and dumb, and he healed him, insomuch that the blind and the dumb both speak and saw. And all the people were amazed and said, look at that. Is not this the son of David? What kind of question is that? Because the understanding of the Jews was, when the son of David, which is the Messiah, come, these are the things he was going to do. Are you following that? David was one of the greatest king of Israel. One of the greatest, if not the greatest. And so, like we're going to see, God already made a promise unto him that out of his bowel shall come forth another king. And so Israel were looking unto that Messiah to come from the lineage of David. And so he found that Jesus came from the tribe of Judah. The lineage of David, from Judah. Is that okay? So now, when this began to happen, the people say, come on, is this not the Messiah we're looking for? Going by the scriptures, as prophesied by Isaiah, the lame shall walk, the blind shall see, the dumb will hear. And Jesus is doing all of this. This should be the Messiah. Remember, the Pharisees were discrediting him and saying, don't believe this man, he's a fraud. So, but the ordinary people say, no, even if you say this man is a fraud, these are the signs we are expecting the Messiah to show us. And this man got all of those signs, so this should be the Messiah. Is it not the son of David? Now, let me show you what I mean by that. Romans chapter 1, verse number 3. Romans 1, verse number 3 and 4. Hallelujah. Concerning his son Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made in quote, of the seed of David according to the flesh. Did you get that? He was made according what? The seed of David is touching the flesh. As a human being, he was the seed of David. So when they say, is he not the son of David? What was that supposed to mean? The prophecies that God gave should have been fulfilled. All right. So, look at verse number 4. Verse 4 says, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. So, as a human being, he was the Son of David. Did you get that? Okay, let's prove that further. Acts chapter 2, verse 29. Acts 2, verse 29. Peter speaking says, men and brethren, on the day of Pentecost, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that is both dead and buried, and is sepulchered with us until this day. Therefore, being a prophet and knowing that God has sworn, notice, I'm going to give you the scripture where God swore, has sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he will raise up Christ to sit on his throne. Whose throne? The throne of David. Look at the next thing. He, seeing this before, spake of what? The resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh shall see what? Corruption. Well, the next thing, that Jesus had God raised up, wherefore we are what? Witnesses. Did you get that? So the resurrection of Christ is what brought Jesus to the throne of who? Of David. Not when he comes again. People are expecting Jesus to come again, sit on the throne of David in Jerusalem as the next king that will deliver them. It's all religious deception. The Bible never teaches that. Peter declared it fully in Acts chapter 2 here. God swore to David, of your throne shall you sit on your throne. And he did that with an oath. Let me show you where he swore unto David. 2 Samuel chapter 7. Let's read from verse 11 up to verse 13. And as since the time that I commanded judges to be over my people Israel, and have caused thee to rest from all thy enemies. Remember, also the Lord telleth thee that he will make thee an house. That is David now. He's talking to David. Samuel is reporting. What's the next thing? And when that days be fulfilled, that's when you die, and thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, I will set up thy seed after thee, which shall proceed out of the barrels, and I will establish his kingdom. Now you better understand now why the question was, is this not the son of David? Are you getting that? What's the next thing? He shall build an house for my name, and will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. People think this is Solomon. Throne of Solomon was not forever. Yeah, it was prophesied about David. And that is what Peter said in Acts chapter 2. Read from 29 to 30 to 32. Did you get it now? This was not a prophecy being fulfilled according to the seed of who? Of David. So when the people said in Matthew chapter 12, is he not a son of David? They were referencing this and referencing Isaiah 15. Now we're at the 4, 53 or so. Did you get it now? Are we together? Very good. So, what I'm trying to make you see is, Israel was always looking to the scripture to see the Messiah fulfilled. They were expecting the Messiah to come to be. All right. And that Messiah was supposed to be who? The son of David. By implication, they want to have another mighty king that will deliver them from even the Romans. Hallelujah. Let's take another long reading in Luke 24 from verse 13. Luke 24 from verse 13. And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem, about 80 furlongs. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. They were discussing on the road. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holding that they should not know him. Hallelujah. No, we know man after the flesh. After resurrection, you can't recognize Jesus anymore. The one people are expecting is completely different from the one that is alive right now. Did you understand that? This were his own disciples, but they could not recognize him anymore. After resurrection, he was a different person. Remember, he had now flesh and bones, not flesh and blood. How many of you remember that? Okay, look on. Next thing. And he said unto them, what manner of communications are these that you have one to another? As they walk and said, what kind of talk is this? What is going on? Hallelujah. Verse 18. And one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem? Hast thou not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? I mean, what kind of question are you asking us? Oh, come on now. They're asking Jesus this question because they don't know him anymore. Hallelujah. And he said unto them, what things? Pretentiously. And he said unto him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet mighty indeed, and well before God and all the people. Hallelujah. Verse 20. And now, I mean, how the chief priests and our ruler delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. What was the next thing? But we trusted that he had born, he would have redeemed Israel. Did you get this? If he was the one we were waiting for, we were thinking he will have redeemed Israel. Hallelujah. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. What's the next thing? Yeah. And certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. And when they found not his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels which said that he was alive. Anytime I read this story, I laugh. You're talking to the person you are describing. I mean, this is Jesus walking with them, and they're just telling him stories. Do you know what has happened? This man who will have redeemed Israel is dead, and his sisters came and they said they saw him, that he has risen. Oh, come on. What's the next thing? And certain of them which went with us went to the sepulchre and found it even so as the women had said, but him they saw not. Okay? Then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophet have spoken. Now I want you to note this. All that the prophet has spoken about who? About Jesus. The prophet said, okay, he was going to die, he was going to rise again. The prophet said all of that. They are consigned as redemption of Israel. They can't remember anything. All they ever want to remember is God will raise this man that will deliver Israel. We thought. Hallelujah. Oh, praise the Lord. Verse 26. Ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? What's the next thing? Beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Hallelujah. Now jump to verse 44. Verse 44. And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets, and what? In the Psalms concerning me. Did you get that? So, his death was written, must be fulfilled. And all of that from the law, that's Moses, the prophet, and the Psalms, recorded his death and resurrection. Birth, death, and resurrection were all recorded in all of those three sections of that which you call the Bible. I mean, the law, the Psalms, and the prophets. He now expanded to them. He now opened their eyes. Then they behold him, finally, that this is Jesus. Are you with me? Now I'm taking you now to the last book that I mentioned, which has to do with the Psalms. For you to understand where that statement was made, how he has to repeat it, and for what purpose he repeated that statement, my God, why have thou forsaken me? But before that, go with me to the book of Matthew 26, verse number 30. Matthew 26, verse number 30. And when they had sung an hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. Verse 31. Then said Jesus unto them, all ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be what? Scattered abroad. Are you there? Verse 32. But after I am risen again, I will go before you into where? Galilee. Follow the sequence. The first thing that I want you to know is they sang a hymn. And all of the hymns they were singing, they are from the Psalms. The previous readings we made there spoke about the prophecy of Isaiah as to how he will open the eyes of the blind, cause the lame to walk, the dumb to speak, the deaf to hear. Is that all right? Look at verse 53, Matthew 26, 53. Thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels? He's thinking about this crucifixion now. But how then shall the scripture be fulfilled that thus must be? Do you think if I want to get out of the hands of Pilate, I can do it? But if I do that, how will the scriptures be fulfilled? Hallelujah. Verse 55. In that same hour, said Jesus to the multitude, are you come out as against a thief with sword and scales for to take me? I sat daily with you teaching in the temple, and you lay no hand on me. And the next verse says, but all this must be done that the scriptures of the prophet might be fulfilled. Then all the disciples forsook him and fled. I want you to keep on seeing the issue of the scriptures. Hallelujah. Verse 57. And they that had laid hold on him led him away to Caiaphas the high priest, where the scribes and the elders were assembled. Now, this takes you to Isaiah 50, is number 7. So go there. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, and yet he opened not his mouth. He's brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shears is dumb, so he opened not what? His mouth. He was led to Caiaphas, to high priest, and then they took him to Pilate, all of that for the crucifixion. So in case of taking him there, he was acting like the lamb, or lived up like the lamb. But remember, he said, all is done and must be done for the scripture to be what? To be fulfilled. Praise God. Okay. So all of that, like Isaiah, the prophet, remember in Luke 24:44, he told them he has to open to them from the law, from the prophet, and from the Psalms. Is that okay? Right. So this is part of the prophet. Well, I didn't know what the Lord said about that. Now, let's see what the Psalms said about him. Psalm 22. Psalm 22, verse 1. Can you see anything there? My God, why has thou forsaken me? Who said that? And when was it? Hallelujah. Are you with me? Who said? Remember, everything of the scriptures, from the law, the prophet, and the saints of the world, fulfilled. And anytime they're singing the hymns, they've been singing all of this together. They expected that the Messiah will cry that cry. Just like they expected that Messiah will raise or open the eyes of the blind, open the mouth of the dumb, open the ears of the deaf, cause the lame to walk. They expected all of that. And they also know that the Messiah will shout the shouts. Are you following me? So, just to keep your head correct on this. Why did he make that statement? Because remember, we read last week, the Lord gave me the power, John 10, to lay down my life and to do what? To take it again. So why will he be crying when he know that what is passing through a master, nothing? He can lay down his life and take it again. So, what was the purpose of the tears? Okay, maybe fear gripped him. If grief gripped him, then it was not the Christ that the fear gripped, it was the Jesus. Did you get that? Remember, a child is born, a son is given. The government shall be upon the shoulder of the son, not the child. The child is the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. So if anybody shouted, that was the Lamb. But listen, it was not out of fear. It was to make Israel believe the scriptures that this of the truth is what? Is the Messiah. Nothing more. Because Israel knew that this is what the Messiah will say. So it was the point of Peter to confirm to them, the man you are crucifying is the expected Messiah, the son of David, that's going to sit on his throne. Are you understanding what I'm saying here? Look at that. My God, why have thou forsaken me? Why are thou so far from me, helping me, and from the words of my roarings? That is Matthew 27 verse 46. That's why you say Matthew 27:46. That is where he made that cry. But all is to prove to Israel, you are crucifying your Messiah that you have been expected. Not because he was afraid of death, in quote. Not because he didn't know he was going to pass through that. He already said the scriptures must be fulfilled. Hallelujah. Are you with me? Amen. Look at that. Verse 2. Oh my God, I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not, and at the night season, and I'm not silent. But thou, all holy, O thou that inhabitest the praise of his people. Our father trusted in thee, they trusted, and thou did deliver them. They cried unto thee, and were delivered. They trusted in thee, and were not confounded. But I'm a worm, and no man, a reproach of men, and despise of the people. Now look at verse number 7. All they that see me love me to scorn, and they shout, and they shoot out their lips They shake their heads saying, he trusted on the Lord that he would deliver him. Let him deliver himself on seeing he delighted in him. Who made that statement? The Jews. Concerning who? Jesus. Where? On the cross. Matthew 27 verse 43 will show you that. He trusted on the Lord that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing he delighted in him. So I'm trying to make you understand that the whole of Psalm 22 was about Jesus Christ and his crucifixion. Are you with me? It's just to fulfill what the scripture said. Okay? Look at verse 9. But thou art he that took me out of the womb. Thou didst make me hope when I was upon my mother's breast. I was cast upon thee from the womb. Thou art my God from my belly, mother's belly. Be not far from me, for trouble is near, but there is none to help. Verse 12, another prophecy fulfilled. Many bulls have compassed me. Strong bulls of Bashan have beset me round about, as it were. Verse 13, they gap upon me with their mouths as a raven and a roaring lion. Verse 14, I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax, is melted in the midst of my bowels. When he hung on the cross, this was being described here. You together? All my bones are out of joints in hanging on the cross. So here he's describing his crucifixion. And don't forget, the whole of Israel continuously have been reading this psalm. And they understood. I mean, they should remember. That's the whole thing. When Jesus shouted, my God, my God, Israel got to start remembering all that they have been reading and reciting and singing in Psalm 22 as a hymn, concluding and confirming that this is the Messiah. Are you there with me? Verse 15, another prophecy there. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue cleaveth to my jaws, and thou hast brought me into the dust of death. Verse 16, for dogs have compassed me, the assembly of the wicked have enclosed me, they pierced my hands and my feet. That is Matthew 27 again, and verse 35. But what are dogs? Go with me to Philippians. Let me show you who the dogs are. Philippians 3, verse number 1 to 3. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed, is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs. So, Paul is saying, don't ever keep a dog as a domestic animal. Is that okay? Praise God. Beware of dogs. Now, remember what we're reading in Psalm 22? Dogs have compassed me round about. Who are the dogs? You think Jesus was talking about dogs in the street? Here are the dogs. Beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the concision. Read it down. For we are the circumcision, we worship God in the spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. What's that? What's the next thing? Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he, whereof if my trust in the flesh, I am more. Let's show what that means. What's the next thing? Circumcised on the 8th day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of Hebrew, as touching the law, a Pharisee. So who are the dogs? The Pharisees, the Jews. Do you understand it? Who are those that crucified Jesus? The Jews. They sold him to Pilate. So when Psalm 20, to go back there, when you start reading in Psalm 22 verse 16, "For dogs have compassed me, the assembly of the wicked have enclosed me in, they pierce my hand and my feet." Who is he talking to here? He's talking about the Jews. And so when he hung on the cross there, when he was writhing on the cross, the Jews ought to begin to remember, oh no, this must be the expected Messiah. We never knew, but our hymn said it. Instantly when he shouted, my God, why have thou forsaken me? All their mind went back to Psalm 22. And they could say, oh, truly, this must be Jesus, the Messiah we're expecting. Are you getting that? Praise the Lord. So we talk about the dogs, we're talking about the Jews here. Hallelujah. Verse 17 says, Psalm 22:17. I may tell all my bones, the look and stared upon me. That is Luke 23:27 and 35. You go there, you'll be able to see that. When they were gazing upon him on the cross, with all those statements he made. Hallelujah. Look at verse 18. Very striking. They part my garments among them and cast lot upon my vestures. Did you get that? Matthew 27:35. Is it clear to you now? So everything that was going on there, you find in Psalm 22. So the reasonable ones among them, we instantly get to know. Of all the psalms we've been singing, of all the books we've been reading, the laws and the prophets, this is the fulfillment. This truly is the Son of David, the Messiah we'll be waiting for. Hallelujah. Verse 19 said, "Be thou not far from me, O Lord, my strength. Haste thee to do what? To help me." And he said, "Deliver my soul from the sword, my darling, the power of the dog. Save me from the lion's mouth, for thou hast hid me from the horns of the unicorns. I will declare thy name among my brethren, in the midst of the congregation will I praise thee." Praise the living God. Hallelujah. So friends, I would like to stop there. You can keep on reading. You have a lot of things you'll be able to see until the end of that chapter. Everything is talking about who? About Jesus Christ. What am I trying to make you see tonight? Jesus is the one that made that statement. And the statement was practically to let the Jews know and remember that the Messiah they've been waiting for is the one they just crucified. Not because God was far away from him, but that the scriptures must be fulfilled and that Israel may get to know the power of the scriptures, right from the law, down to the prophet, down to the Psalms. Are you following me? So, Jesus was not forsaken, never. That's the point I'm raising for you to understand. If anything, it was a lamb that was speaking. But don't forget, like I said before, in the book of John chapter 10, he said it clearly, "You're giving me power to lay down this body and to do what? To take it again." He told them in John 7, "Destroy this temple in 3 days and I will do what? I will raise it up." And he's speaking of the temple of his body. There is nowhere in scripture where Jesus was finally afraid at the end of the day. He told them, like we read before, everything must be done for the scripture to be what? To be fulfilled. So this was just a fulfillment of scripture. So Jesus was not afraid of it. Neither was sin. People say, oh, God just looked on him and turned his face away from him. We read that last week. Maybe we'll read it again. 2 Corinthians 5, and we can end there. Verse 21. Hallelujah. 20:21, if you will. Okay. 20:21 is okay. "For he had made him to be sin for us who knew no sin." Don't miss this scripture. He knew no sin. that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. He had no fellowship with sin. He has no relationship with sin. He knew no sin. He was never a sinner. Now, some of you don't even understand that there are people that teaches that Jesus died for his sin, so you should die for your own sin. And that is why he told the people, take up your cross and follow me. So everybody has a cross because everybody is a sinner, including Jesus. And you will say, how will they say that? Yes, the church is backing their statement by saying that Jesus died the death of a sinner. Did you get that? The church is backing them. The church is backing the belief. Without seeing what the scripture is saying here. If my brother committed offense, I have the ability to bail him out of the offense, and I bail him out of the offense, that does not mean I committed a crime. It doesn't mean I'm a criminal. I'm only able to deliver him because I have what it takes to deliver the person. And so when the Son of Man set you free, you are free indeed. That does not mean you are a sinner and then himself was a sinner. If he's a sinner, he can't set you free. But the Bible says he knew no sin. Hallelujah. So when he shouted, my God, why thou forsaken me? That's what the church now picks up and says, oh, God cannot look at sin. Jesus was so much of a sinful person that God cannot look at him. Well, honey, why do you want to lie like that? Jesus only wanted to tell Israel, this is the Messiah you've been waiting for. I don't know if you are getting what I'm saying here. Why? Because he was never a sinner any day. He had innocent blood, the Alpha blood in his system. Blood that's not corrupted. Somebody said, but our iniquity were laid on him. You're right. Iniquity doesn't mean that he committed iniquity. What he's saying is the price of the offense we committed was laid on him to pay. By his stripe, we are healed. What was his stripe? 49 strokes of the cane for anyone that commits a crime was the law for Israel. So they'll start flogging you 49 strokes of the cane. And so you who are qualified, the law said, okay, you committed a crime as a sinner, you are supposed to receive the 49 strokes of the cane. That being the case, Jesus said, okay, leave my brothers alone, for I'm going to declare their name in the congregation of the people. I'm going to relate to them as my brother. Give me the strokes of the cane. Let them be free. Are you following what I'm talking about? The Lord said, beat him who committed a crime. 49 strokes of the cane. And Jesus said, leave them alone. Beat me rather. That's how he took the strokes on himself. Not because he was a sinner. I mean, it pains me when people teach that Jesus was a sinner. Just because he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Therefore, he said that because God cannot look on sin. Hell, he was so bad. The sin of the whole world was upon him. Nonsense. That is not scripture. He knew no sin. For the sinner, then he can save you. The devil can cast out devil. Sin can deliver sinners. Are you following what I'm saying here? Praise the living God. So Jesus made this proclamation for Israel now, who used to sing these hymns, to now understand. Oh no, now we understand. This truly must be the Son of God. This is the Messiah we're waiting for. So we're just trying to tell them, Israel, you don't understand anything. You're only crucifying the Messiah you've been waiting for. If you can't remember, my God, why have thou forsaken me? And then I said, oh, come on. We remember Psalm 22. We remember the Son of David. We remember the Messiah. Supposed to shout that, then this must be the Messiah. That's the message in that cry. Hallelujah. Do you understand what I'm saying here? Praise the living God. So friends, what am I trying to make you understand? Every bit of that cry was the scripture being fulfilled to let Israel know that this was the Messiah they are looking for. And unfortunately, the blindness is still in their heart, that tomorrow, sorry, maybe, I don't know when, that they cannot still understand that Jesus was the Messiah, written and spoken about right from the law, the prophet, and the Psalms. They still could not. Why? Because Isaiah prophesied that blindness will happen to Israel. It says, speak to them. Hearing, they will hear. Seeing, they will see. They will not see. Do you understand that? That prophecy is still working on Israel. But all Israel shall be saved. That meaning one day, when, I don't know, the eyes of understanding is going to be enlightened. Finally, they will come to say, this is the Messiah we're waiting for. Are you getting that? That's how he said the prophecy in Revelation 1 verse number 7. And said, it's coming in the clouds, and even those that pierce him, Zechariah 10:12 or 10:12. You understand that 12:10. And then the Bible says he's going to pour the spirit of supplication upon the house of Israel. And those who pierce him shall do what? Shall cry. Their understanding will come up to say, oh, this is the man we've been waiting for. And that day is coming when all Israel shall be saved. So the cry had nothing to do with the fact that God forsook him because he was a sinner. It was just simply to tell Israel, this is the Messiah you've been waiting for. Have I helped you tonight? God bless you. Thank you so much. Hallelujah.
Thank you for listening to Dr. David Ogaga. We know you have been blessed by this station. You can share this message with your friends and loved ones. For more information, inquiries, and free downloads, please visit www.davidogaga.org. God bless you.